Well, I'm so glad you are here tonight. We have three wonderful ladies that have agreed to share their own personal life experiences with you, and we hope that it'll be an encouragement to you. And to help moderate this, I've asked my good friend Judy Chu. Some of you know her because she's been our substitute small group leader this summer. And Judy will keep things going for us. So, Judy, we have Tara Rose, who is in the class this summer, and Carolyn Hanlon, and Linda Cruz. And I'm not going to tell you any more about them because they're going to tell about themselves. Thank you, ladies.
Ladies, we're so glad you're here, and I especially want to thank you ladies who come from other churches. We were so pleased to have you this summer. I'm going to open with a brief word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for this whole summer here together and for the new friends, and Lord, most of all for you and for what you have shown each woman this summer. Lord, we ask that this time together will be such a blessing, an encouragement, and really a real praise to you. So we thank you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, ladies, first question, briefly introduce yourself. Whoever likes to go, jump in it.
All right, I can go first. My name is Tara Rose, and my husband Troy and I have been members at Perimeter for about, I'd say, 7 years now. And we have two girls. Caroline is 6, and Elizabeth is 4. Caroline gave me this nice little necklace. She said, Mommy, I think you need good luck tonight. She didn't even know I was speaking. So I thought, that's so sweet. So that's why I'm wearing it this evening. I'm a homemaker, but prior to that, I had worked for 10 years at Ernst & Young, the accounting firm, as a national campus recruiter. So I traveled a lot. It was such a fun job. But then coming home and having babies, deciding to stay home was quite a change for me. And so I'll share more about that. But now I'm a homemaker, and I also have been involved with Moms and More here at the church and leading that. And then I also lead a D group as well, a discipleship group with young moms. And we have a great time.
Thank you.
I'm Carolyn Hanlon, and my husband's name is Larry. We have just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary this past Sunday, so we were really excited about that. We have two adult children, a daughter who lives here in Atlanta, and a son and daughter-in-law who lives in Arizona, and they have two precious little girls that we are really excited to be with whenever we get a chance. We have been members here at Perimeter for about since 13 years, I guess it is now. And I'll explain a little bit more how that came about later.
And I'm Linda Cruz. We've been married, my husband is Don. We've been married for 25 years almost. We have two kids, 20 and 21, both in college. Yay! We love 50 guests! Sorry, but we do. And we've been at Perimeter for about 25. I've been here since before we got married, so it's been a little over 25 years. And I stayed at home with my kids, but I worked also for about 10 years in the computer software industry in marketing, sales, and training. And so the transition to be at home was a challenge for me. It was difficult. And so I stayed and then went back to work when my kids were in middle school. I work as the staff and operations director for Shanti Feldhahn. And volunteer, I started when I was about 15. I was a candy striper at Shalford Hospital, which today is called something else, the Dunwoody Women's Medical Center or something, I don't know. So I've worked in the community since then. I love volunteering in the community, so, but it's hard to juggle all of it. So,
well, ladies, you can tell that we're in for a treat because we have ladies who represent every age and stage, no matter where you are. So our question number two has a two parts, so I want you to hear it. We asked them to share one challenge or hard place that they've experienced since they've been married or during their marriage, and then through this circumstance, what did God show them about himself and about them, or about, you know, the person? So that's our question here. Who would like to go first?
Go ahead.
All right, I'll jump in. Okay, I would say the toughest part for our marriage was between years 6 and 8 when we had young. I mean, my children are still young, but I'm talking babies. And after my first child was born, I was able to work at home with her playing beside me. The company I'd worked for was very flexible. The people I reported to were not in Atlanta. They were in New York and LA, other places. So I could work from home, and it was great. And I was juggling it okay. The second child arrived, and we decided I was stretched too thin. And so I decided to stay home, which I had always thought I wanted to do, and my husband was very supportive of it, but it changed our budget. So the people who used to clean our house could no longer come to clean our house. There were just a lot of changes around the responsibilities I had. And what we read about this week in our study was just about the core roles we have as women, both as wives and then loving children, our children. And that does not exclude other things, but those should be priorities. And I had found with my career and other things, I had found ways to find other people to help with that. So now I was having to do all of these things that really should have been my core role from the beginning, and I had not really been focusing on it. And so that transition was difficult. Our second child was very sick with respiratory problems, and so she only slept about 2 hours at a time, needing breathing treatments and things. So needless to say, the transition, I ended up in a pretty deep depression and realized this through Moms and More. We heard a speaker talk about depression. She had a checklist. I looked at it, and I told my husband, I think we need to go talk to somebody, and he agreed. And from there, it's been a wonderful learning process, and this class has really helped me because I was bathed in God's Word. I joined this class 3-4 years ago, right when I had started counseling for the depression. So it was like it all came together, and God met me where I needed Him to meet me, even though He had always been there. But so with that, God revealed to me that I was having a tough time with contentment. I was complaining a lot. I was not focused on joy. I was not focused on finding contentment in where God had placed me at that moment. I was thinking of all the other, which in many ways were good options, but maybe not the best options for my family. And so I recently heard someone talk about complaining, and complaining is like whistling for the devil. And in some cases, I think that's true because I started to open a door into my soul that discontent led to me not being happy, not treating my husband well, not treating my children well, and just a downward cycle. So I was going to share with you real quick. Do I have a minute to share this real quick? Who's read this book, Calm My Anxious Heart? A couple of people. Carolyn and I read it together in my home with some other young moms. But in here they have a prescription for contentment, and this was based on a lady who was a missionary in Africa. Her amazing story, no air conditioning, 120 degrees, you know. And this is how she found contentment. Never allow yourself to complain about anything, not even the weather. That was a hard pill for me to swallow. That was very convicting, and I realized I needed to change the way what I was focusing my mind on. Never picture yourself in any other circumstances or someplace else. And this goes back to understanding and being bathed in God's Word, that God has put you where you are for a reason, and it's to do His work and to love on others. And if you're always considering, where else could I be, what else could I be doing, you might be missing the work God wants you to do. Never compare your lot with others. Never allow yourself to wish this or that had been otherwise. And never dwell on tomorrow. Remember that tomorrow is God's, not ours. And so just that little prescription for contentment, really, I meditated on that. And I read that while I was doing this study, and it just really helped me. So that's where God showed me that I needed to work on learning contentment.
And we appreciate your honesty, and thank you for sharing that book with us. More resources, girls. Okay. Who else would like to go?
Go ahead. We can just go down the line if you want.
Since we've been married the longest, we probably have had the most opportunity to have many challenges. I'll just share one quickly with my husband and then one with myself. after we'd been married a while and we had our two children and things were going pretty well, my husband went into business for himself. And he was a very capable person, was very gifted. So he felt that he could do just about anything as long as he set his mind to it. And he did. He did an excellent job, and things were going well for about the first, 4.5, 5 years. And then, suddenly, a lawsuit came. And that lawsuit went was nothing to do directly with my husband. It was actually for a client that he had. But the company that was suing decided that they were going to get the money one way or another. And so they determined, they said, my husband said, I'll show you my books. I didn't get paid either. And they said, we don't care. We're going to shut you down. And so that's exactly what they started doing. The financial stress was extreme. Our kids were little. We didn't have extreme resources at that point, because it takes a while to get a company going and get things established before you really see revenue and profit. So when that happened, my husband did not tell me. And he thought he could work his way out of it and not have to share that with me. So though we had been economical and, you know, purpose that we wouldn't go into debt, when all of a sudden it came to where we thought we were going to even lose our home, that fear just gripped me. I just could not get over the fact that we were both believers, and how could this happen to us? We went to church. We did the right things. I was in a Bible study. And you thought, why, God, why are we under this attack? But God was working, as we look back, on my husband in one way and me in another. My husband says, and since we've gone all through this, he said, you know, I realized that I was very, I looked at it as self-sufficiency. I had God on Sunday and maybe the men's Bible study or whatever, but I didn't integrate it into my daily life. And he said, as God broke him, he just said, now I know that anything and everything that happens is only by God's gift and mercy. It has really nothing to do with me directly. Yes, you use your talents that God gives you, but, you know, apart from God, even though he had great talent, and people would say to him, oh, well, you did such a good job, and how could this happen to you? Well, God still allowed it for a reason. My problem was fear. I was looking to my husband constantly. I had worked before. We had children, and it was also challenging for me to give up my job. I wanted to do it, to be home with our children, but I was thinking, well, financially, you know, this is going to be a big challenge for us. But I did it, but then I had to depend totally on my husband. And I thought, okay, we can do this. We can get through this. But then when our home was going to be taken, it was recommended that we take up bankruptcy. And we really felt as Christians that we shouldn't do that at this point in time in our life for us. And so we prayed earnestly. I took a part-time job while the kids were in school. They were very young, but in the lower grades at that point. And he worked really, really hard, and God miraculously provided work that just came out of nowhere. As soon as we paid off all the debts that were outstanding, the work dried up. He had no more, and so we had to close the business. But we knew that God had brought us through that, and it was helping me to think, don't lean on your husband. As this, to a certain extent, humanly speaking, you lean on your spouse, and he does on you, but God is first and foremost. If you're looking to your mate to just fill that security, you know, it isn't going to happen. At some point, it'll be tested. And then my husband's, you know, his was the brokenness from self-sufficiency. And we've had many other challenges since then. That was many years ago when our kids were younger. After that, in 99, just when we were getting ready, we started coming here just after that. But I had a day surgery, but ended up with severe complications, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And so I went to several doctors here in Atlanta, and ultimately I have a family in Chicago that is involved with some medical, so I was flown to Chicago and put in the hospital up there, a research hospital. And I was there for a year. Had 9 surgeries, diagnosed with many different things, from leukemia, cancer, many other things. Twice the surgeries were so critical that I nearly died and hemorrhaged. It was just amazing, though, all this to say, because we had gone through what we had earlier, I knew God was faithful. I knew he did miracles, and he brought us through what he did. And so I thought, well, Lord, you're still the same, and I know you'll do this because you've promised never to leave us or forsake us. And so I can remember when it was really critical. My fever was really, really high. I'd had massive infection because of complications from the surgery they had just given me and taken me back to my room. And within a couple of days, I was rushed back in, and they said, call her family. We don't think she'll make it. And I heard all that, but it was like this peace just totally came over me. And I knew it was God. And it was like, I would love to see my family once more. But if you choose, Lord, if it's time, it's okay. I'm ready. But God was just so good, because my family wasn't even in town. My husband at that point, he had to get back to Atlanta because of work. And so he would try to come back and forth, but he couldn't stay up there for the whole year. So it was just all these things and several other things have just really helped me to totally surrender and say, God, I trust you. I don't trust, the job or, other circumstances. It's you and you alone. And I know that you're sufficient. And I've been able to impart that to our children. They have seen us, even though it was very hard for them. They just, their faith grew stronger through what we went through. And then coming here to Perimeter, they learned a lot from the teaching here at Perimeter. They were in high school and then started college and continued to come back even through college on weekends to attend here for the teaching.
How did you get well?
What's wrong with you? It has been a very long process, and I'm still working on it. Wow. After removing many, many organs, they finally diagnosed me with severe Crohn's, which I'd never been diagnosed. And usually it's a younger person that is diagnosed with Crohn's, but I'd never been diagnosed before. And then later Graves' disease. But then they treated me with cancer drugs because they thought I had cancer. But then that caused more complications. So anyway, it was a very challenging time in our life. But I know God is faithful. That is the thing. God is so faithful, and he gives you peace. If he doesn't deliver you from a challenge or a trial in your life, he will give you the grace to go through it. And because you think, I can't do this. If somebody told me this years ago, that this is what you're going to encounter, I would have said, there's no way. I cannot go through that. But the Lord doesn't give you grace until you're going to need it. He doesn't need to give you that way in advance. And so I'm grateful that he doesn't tell us what lies ahead for us, because we would all walk in fear at that point. But, it makes your roots grow down deeper. Mm-hmm. And then when other things happen and come your way, it's like, remember, go back and remember what, keep a journal even, or write things down. What has God done for you? And he's never left you. He's never forsaken you, and he'll always provide a way.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said. Wow.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Carolyn, for sharing. Carolyn says she's been married a long time and some challenges came up, and we do want to hear from Linda, but what came to my mind is, girls, when we first got married, what did we promise to our husband and before God? For better or worse, sickness and health, richer or poorer. And I just couldn't help but think, as we're listening to these women, this is what those vows have come out to. And I want to remind you something else. You promised that to God, not just to your spouse. And God promised that to you, too. And that's what you're hearing through these stories, that God is there. He is keeping his word to you. Thank you. Miss Linda?
Yes, being married 25 years, we've had quite a few. It's like, oh, which one should I share? but we also, my husband, about 10 years ago, started his own business, and it was, oh, my word, what's going to happen? I mean, literally, he had been in the computer software industry, had been laid off a couple of times. There was a big bust, and it was happening everywhere. And he found a job quickly. He had a really good reputation and could find. But one time he came to me and said, I've decided I'm going to change careers and I'm going to do something different. I said, what? And he wanted to do something different but didn't know what. And then proceeded to take a very long time to research and figure it out. And it was so hard for me to really trust him and not feel like I had to figure out, I'm a problem solver, and that's the kind of dual a complication for us is the difference in our temperaments and personalities. He's very laid back, whatever, and doesn't like confrontation or conflict, and I'm very much the problem solver, and you have to confront sometimes to solve a problem. So I get anxious when we don't confront because then you can't solve. And so the difference in personality and how that plays out in parenting, oh my word. but then with respect to this work, you know, I'm like, we have a problem, no income. And my kids were at Perimeter School. I'm thinking how we're going to pay for the, and I kept wanting to ask questions about how this was going to be resolved. And I could tell that when I asked, it sent a message that he didn't quite have a plan or wasn't capable or didn't know. And so it was a real exercise for me to trust God and to demonstrate my faith and confidence in him as a leader. But at the same time, I didn't see things happening, and we were going through our savings, and then there were no more savings to go through, and it was really kind of freaking me out. And this is really beneficial. And The Life Ready Woman, has anybody read this book yet? Their Perimeter is going to do this Bible study this fall on life balance. It is an incredible book. And with respect to the whole concept of a man needs our support in his work and his dreams. And my husband was one of the most mismatched for his job, an introvert in marketing. And it was he was miserable. It brought him really a lot of depression. And so we had the whole depression thing. So we've worked through that. So this starting his own business was an opportunity for him to be better matched for himself. And this says, our husbands need us to identify with, appreciate, and value the work that defines their lives. This support is particularly important in times of transition or change. When a man is out of work, how many men are out of work right now, and trying to find a job or thinks his best shot at success is to change jobs or career paths, or take some risky shot at a better life. At such times, the support of his wife is crucial. No, he doesn't need you to mindlessly submit to his daring ideas. That could wreck you both. On the other hand, he doesn't need you instinctively to react by bringing up the 101 reasons why not, either Perimeter School, tuition, house payment, healthcare insurance, you know. Rather than blind obedience or emotional reactiveness, what he needs is your wisdom, strength, and encouragement to think outside the box. Help him evaluate, but supportively, including not just the negatives, but all the positives for him as well. He doesn't need you always to agree with him, but he does need you always to believe in him. That was the hardest thing for me at that point in time. And I just remember praying constantly every day and asking God to show me how I could demonstrate faith and confidence in him, and not ask too many questions, but really encourage him. And one of the things I had to honestly get right with myself to be able to honestly say to him was that I was willing for us to sell our house and move if we needed to, and to have a smaller house. And if the kids couldn't go to Perimeter School, that God was big enough for them to go to public school. And to really feel that and believe that. And it took a while. My dad built the house that we live in, and he's since passed away. And there are many special things in the house, and we live in Crabapple, and it's on a dirt road with horse farm. And so to sell that and move was a lifestyle change for us. But God got my heart ready, and I meant it wholeheartedly. I am completely willing. I do not have to have all this to be happy. Your happiness and your job is so much more important to me, and we can make this go. I have stuffed 5,000 envelopes, licked the stamps and the labels for his business to get him going, and he's much more matched for what is his personality. So that was a good thing. But I've had some health problems in the last couple of years too, and I can just attest to what Carolyn was saying, that the longer you walk with God through either tragedies or trials, when you experience his faithfulness, it builds your faith and your trust so that the next trial you go through is easier than the one before. And I know that I was freaking out when I went through some health things and the doctor, when the doctors don't know and you can see they don't know and you have reactions that you're not supposed to have, it kind of scares you. It makes you think that they don't have, but after a whole year of that, about 2 years later, I went through some other, literally I was not worried. People would ask me questions about how's this going, and I would have totally forgotten because I was just at such peace because I had experienced God's faithfulness before. And I agree, journal, I've been through some things that I will go back to my journal 20 years earlier, and it just, when I start getting into a jit, you know, I'm just about to have a panic attack, I'll go back and read of God's faithfulness to me, how he answered a prayer just totally out of the blue. Record those prayers because you will forget them. And when you go back and read them again, it just gives you that confidence and that trust in God to just walk in peace instead of anxiety.
Well, I think we could go home now. No. Ladies, on that, next to the last question, you kind of touched on it. That was, what did your husband and you decide about work or not working? We've heard that a little bit. How does this decision impact your marriage? What adjustment did you make? We heard that. Would anyone like to have any final words on that particular issue? Because I know that the lesson was choosing the best, and it was talking about working or not working, what your core role was. Mm-hmm. Does anyone want to add anything about working, not working?
I went back to work because my husband started his own company, and about a couple of years into it, he said, I'll tell you when it's time to go back to work. Be thinking about it. And by that time, I was driving about 2 hours a day from where we lived to Perimeter School, so it was really hard for me to have a job. When we finally got to a position where I could work, he said, okay, it's time for you to go back to work. And I was thinking, oh, dinosaur, been out of computer software for 10 years, what do you do? Once you've been out that long, you really don't go back into it that easily. And a friend called and said, Shanti Feldhahn is looking for somebody to work. And I'm like, who? Shanti Feldhahn. I didn't know about her books, didn't know her or anything. And I went and interviewed, and she hired me on the spot, and I've been working with her ever since. I think the money, we never had to worry about money before, and then my husband, once he started his business and all, then we had to, we didn't really worry about it, but it wasn't a given. It was really kind of month to month. And God has been faithful to provide all of our needs. Our kids went to private Christian school all the way through middle school. He provided the job at the right time, and it was so suited for me. It is just a perfect job for me, and it's opened up other opportunities for me to get back into training. Not working so much and balancing, that's why I'm taking this fall, because I could just work 24 hours a day, and then, I have to cook, don't I? I have to cook a meal. And with the kids being empty nests, that's been a challenge for me, is remembering that he still needs my attention and time and energy, and reserving that for him and not just going overboard, because now I can work full time. The kids are gone. So that's been a challenge.
Thank you. Anyone else want to say anything on that?
I will real quick. When I was going through this process of becoming more content, I'm not totally, you know, we all struggle with that. But there was a point at which when we built our current house, we're like, oh, we'll be here 3 to 5 years and we'll sell. And then we realized Troy was brilliant because we were living within his salary and not needing mine. Some of the added things, such as house cleaning and all of that, didn't quite fall into there. But overall, we were comfortable and still are in this home. But I still had my sight on the next thing and would talk to him about the next thing. And I think that stressed him out because he felt he had to somehow work harder or he wasn't providing for my, you know, happiness. And so we were talking, constantly looking on realtor websites, and he said, you know, Tara, just make a list of what you want. So, you know, that's a good idea. So I made the list. Our current house has everything on that list. And I realized, you know, I need to just sit back and be happy and content where I am. And yes, you know, with two children, we kind of, you know, we finished the basement, so we have a little more space for toys, and, you know, we were kind of overrun. But long story short, I can clean the whole downstairs while baking a pan of brownies, and I'm not going to complain, because if I had a bigger home, it would be a little bit more stressful. So I just had to come around to understand that in supporting my husband in his career and what he's doing, constantly talking about the next step can add a lot more stress and communicate to him that he's not providing in the right way. Now, we both have dreams about other things we would like to do within the house. We have, you know, certain neighborhoods we're, you know, stalking sometimes, looking for that deal maybe in this downturn. But it's done together mutually. It's not just me always pushing that. And so that was part of, I had to come to that understanding when I decided to stay home, that that was going to be where our home was for a while. And I'm actually excited that we may be there for a long time. And side note, noticing changes in our neighborhood for the kingdom because we planted roots there. If we had moved within 5 years, I wouldn't have some of the relationships I have with my neighbors who are, you know, Hindu, many different cultures asking me, you know, you're raising your children a little differently than we do. The way you discipline, the way you're talking to them about their heart, what is that all about? And I wouldn't have those conversations if we hadn't just sat back and see where, you know, God wanted us, where God wanted us to be. So I just wanted to share that as part of that decision.
And we appreciate that. Let's see, our time is kind of getting away from us, ladies. Where's Barbara? Yeah, there she is. Girls, at this point, I do want you to hear, even though we might not be able to talk about it, but you heard something about the legacy of faith. As their children, whatever age, observe their parents having a challenge, and what were they doing? How did they treat each other? Where did they turn to? And where are they after that challenge? So that's that legacy of faith that we're always passing on. We're going to give a few minutes for question and answer from any of you, but we do have a little guideline on that question of yours. I'm sure that you really would want to share, ask something personal to your own, but could we just ask you to please ask a question, one that would be most interested to the women who are here, kind of like a general one, and if you want to talk to them afterwards, there will be a little time if there's something particular about your situation. Do we understand that question or that guideline? So is there anyone out here who's bold that would like to ask a question? Now that I scared you, huh? Oh, thank you.
I'm only recently married, and we don't have any kids yet, and probably won't for the next couple of years. But one of my concerns is that... Okay. One of my concerns is that we'll get to the point where we do have kids and my husband won't want me to stay home because he likes having the extra money, or it's nicer to live on two salaries, and my heart really is to stay at home with my kids. And so I would wonder how it would be good to handle in a biblical way if he's saying you need to work some part-time or even work full-time, and I feel like I would be torn between raising small children and working and everything. So how could I handle that, basically?
Okay, girls, jump in.
Wait, is he telling you now,
no,
before you've had kids?
No,
or are you just anticipating? Are you?
He has said, literally, my heart is for you to be home with our kids, definitely. Mm-hmm. But I know with financials being difficult, it's a difficult economic situation right now. The economy is tough. And so I can just imagine, you know, getting to that point and having him say, actually, we could use a little extra money on the side. Why don't you do part-time and doing this? And
have
I really
you worked?
Want to be home. Yes, I'm working right now. Yes.
What do you do?
I work in marketing.
Doing what?
I do email marketing and lead generation for a travel marketing firm.
If you could do it from home, it'd be great.
Right. I can just see with babies, you know, having a couple of small children,
oh,
being
can
challenging
do
to do that.
Anybody else on that panel want to say anything to her?
No, I did. And I still do some consulting from home when my schedule permits. I will say there is a certain point. Now, we don't have any family in town, so I had no one that I could say, could you watch the girls, you know, this morning so I could get some work done? We did the whole financial analysis of childcare versus what I was going to bring home. And at the end of the year, I really wasn't bringing anything home after having, you know, so you can go through that together. And I think it's also just prayer and deciding, you know, what is best for our family here. And I think, you know, if there is a financial focus, I would encourage you to look. Although I also would say, having been in the corporate world, I will have probably taken a hit if I want to go back. There is probably a salary loss there, mm-hmm, to take into consideration too, if you have a specialized profession, of course. But it can be done, but there's a certain age where your child, it's hard to work while they're crawling and running around and getting into things. So that's where you just find the accommodation for that.
Thank you.
You can also, you know, your kids are small for such a small season. You can slim down your life so that it's not so expensive. There's ways that you can get around it to try to make it more affordable for a season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you start out on one income, then it's easier to continue in that path. And, you know, if that's his desire for you to be home and yours, then you're not going to go out probably and buy things that are going to require two incomes, and it'll be easier.
One thing that we did, we discussed it, and then we decided that we would live on one income, knowing that in a few years after we were married, we would like to try to start a family. So we put my salary away and lived on one income as much as possible. And then when the time came, it didn't seem quite so overwhelming. And like someone mentioned, there are ways that you can really economize. And then, like was said, also prayer. It's amazing. When you purpose to do things right before the Lord, He will make a way sometimes where it seems like, oh, that would have looked impossible. If someone had told me that I would be able to do this, I wouldn't have believed it. But look, you know, God has worked it all out. And so, mm-hmm, it's like, don't live in anxiety or any anxiousness about it. Just pray about it and commit it to the Lord. And then even ask the Lord to put the right thoughts in your husband's mind so that when you have a conversation about it, I remember doing that thinking, now, Lord, is this just my thought or is this really from you? So I'm going to test it. I'm going to pray about it and bring it to you. And if my husband brings this up and talks about it, then I'll know that this is really from you, not just my thoughts on this. And it was amazing how many different times I got so excited I'd start keeping track. It's like, oh, look, Lord, what you did here. And the Lord says, test me and I'll show you that I'm with you, you know, and I'll make a way. Sometimes we don't ask the Lord to do it. And he delights in showing us how faithful He is.
Ladies, we have time for one more question. Would anyone like to share another question? Well, ladies, let's give them a round of applause. And I'm going to turn this portion over to Barbara.
Thank you, ladies. I realized while sitting there that these gals are all my friends, and you don't know that. Tara, I met when she first moved to Atlanta, and she's heart of my heart because she grew up in Milwaukee, which is my adopted home. And so I just feel like it's a little bit of home to be near Tara. Okay. And Carolyn, My husband and I were privileged to pray for Carolyn during that year she was in Chicago in the hospital. And what a growing, stretching time that was for us, because we were pretty anxious about her. But what a marvelous thing to see how God has sustained her and strengthened the marriage. So thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Tara. And Linda, I met over 20 years ago when I first came here to church. And we were working together in a women's ministry. And then she disappeared, or our lives separated. And just the last year, we've gotten reacquainted. And it's been such a delight to be back in ministry with her again. So thank you, each of you girls. It's been wonderful. But we're not finished yet. Now it's your turn. And we would like to hear from a few of you who would like to share what God has taught you this summer and what you're learning. So you think about that for a minute.
I just want to share something from this summer is just the power of prayer over everything in your life. And The Power of a Praying Wife is a book that had been given to me by Chris Rooker, who used to work here and is a friend of mine. But praying for your husband is not the same as praying for a child, even though it may seem similar, because you're not your husband's mother. We have authority over our children that is given to us by the Lord. We don't have authority over our husbands. However, we have authority over the power of the enemy, which is in Luke 10:19, and can do great damage to the enemy's plans when we pray. Many difficult things can happen in a marriage relationship that are actually part of the enemy's plan set up for your marriage's demise. But we can say, I will not allow anything to destroy my marriage. And this is something this summer that I know we talked about praying for our husbands this whole summer, and I have seen some life-changing things by just praying specific things for my husband, and it's just been really neat. So,
thank you, Tara. Now, who else would like to speak?
My name's Holly. This is my third Wisdom for Wives summer study to do in a row. And as Tina said, some people are slow learners. But my first year, our marriage was just kind of almost done, basically. But this weekend, we celebrated not our 10-year wedding anniversary, but 10 years of being together. And he said that he told his discipleship group that I have just turned over a new leaf and that he sees this amazing change in me. And I definitely owe it all to this study for sure.
Wow, that's amazing.
Just because, I guess my thing is I grew up not without a dad, but he just wasn't around. And so I didn't have that idea of what a husband should be, or the idea of what a wife should be. So I didn't know any of this stuff when I started. And so the first year was kind of like learning, oh, wow, that's really what a wife is supposed to do. And then kind of implementing it and now just reiterating it. So it's a really good study.
How long have you been married?
I've been married for 5 years.
Okay.
So I started this on our second year of being married.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So are you coming back next time?
Probably.
No, I think Holly needs to be a group leader with us.
I think she does.
Holly, you need to be a group leader with us.
Okay. Who else would like to share a little bit?
Do you feel God, your heart pounding?
Always. I'm Kathleen. Hello. I think for me, I am a go-getter. I'm a busybody. I like to do, sitting down and stopping is very rare for me, and that can be a problem in and of itself. But I think this study, and especially the first several weeks for me, were just really enlightening and just reminding me that why God created women and what our role as a woman is and how he's put so much of himself in us. and just the compassion and the sensitivity, and just reminding me of all of those softer parts of myself, and how that plays out in our marriage is a big deal, because that's the other half, you know? So I think it's been cool for me to just stop and think before I just do or react, or I don't know, just a lot of those scriptures really jumped out at me at the first several weeks of just, okay, why did God create woman? What is your role? What does this look like? Who are you? You know, instead of, and me just figuring out me stuff makes us stuff easier. Mm-hmm. So that's probably been the most impactful for me.
Thank you. Now we've heard some young girls. How about the seasoned ladies? Another young girl. I love you, girls.
I've been married for 12 years, but I feel like, just for some reason, just to say this, so I'm just going to share it, that if you have like a husband that you feel like, well, my husband's not the godly leader in our home, how am I going to, you know, if I do all of this stuff and he's still not going to listen to me, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that you can win your husband over just by seeing God working in your heart and in your life. So I would strongly suggest, if you are one of those girls, to stay in these studies, stay in these groups, keep building your relationship with the Lord, because God could blow your mind and bring everything full circle and just completely blow your mind. Everything come together, your family be exactly what you wanted, and just keep praying. Like Tara said, this summer for me, I'm blown away by the way God answers prayer. And when I don't pray, how a lot of times things don't happen. And it's because I'm not asking. I'm not, you know, reaching up to heaven and pulling it down for myself. I'm not asking for what I want. And that is what he tells us to do. Ask and you shall receive.
I just want to thank Jessica. Jessica is the one that put all the ladies in my group together. I can take no credit for this. I happily showed up and took the group Barb gave to me. But Jessica was the one that initiated and invited friends and coworkers and probably neighbors and relatives. No, I don't know. Everybody. But we ended up with, you know, almost a dozen young women that were eager to learn each week. And I've been blessed through watching them grow and just going through all this curriculum again. It's been terrific. So thank you.
I'm here because Holly invited me last year. This is my second summer. Holly's the only one that goes to Perimeter. None of us all. We all go to different churches. So I want to thank Holly. She last year posted on her Facebook the day that Wisdom for Wives class was starting and was like, oh, you know, I'm going to this, and my marriage was struggling big time. We were on our second year of marriage, and I was just about done as well. And I signed up. I saw that, and I'm like, I'm so desperate. I'll take it. I'll go. And I was walking out the door, and my husband's like, where do you think you're going? And I'm like, I'm going to Wisdom for Wives. And he's like, don't you think you need to ask me before? I was like, no, I don't. You're going to thank me. And
what was the name of our leader last year?
Shelly. Satterwhite. Yeah, she led us that night, and she asked us all to go around and pray, like, boldly for our husbands and go around and say our husband's name. And I was in for a specific prayer, and I was like, please give my husband a kick in the pants. And I came home, and there were like candles and flowers and wine everywhere when I got home. And he was just like, thank you for taking this class. I looked it up online, and I saw what this is about. And it was really good. So I told Shelly, I was like, hey, thanks for that prayer. But I came last summer, and I mean, we had gone through counseling. We've been in small group. We had gone through it all. And like one of you said, I was so focused on him. He's got to change. He has got to get his act together. We're never going to make it. And it was just, I came here and I was like, no, this is between you and I, Lord. Like, you just fix me. Like, Power of a Praying Wife is just like, change me. And when I opened my heart to that, our marriage changed, and it changed so drastically. That's why I literally sent out an email to all of anybody on my email list that was married. I sent it out to everybody and was like, I'm just telling you, this class changed my marriage. And please, you know, I sent it to everybody I knew that was married, and 7 or 8 people actually came. And so that's what our group entailed of this year. And so some of them we went, I was in a newlywed small group with. And so it's been really neat to see the change in their marriages as well. So I'm really thankful. I love this class. I sing its praises all the time. I will come again next summer and forward it out the email again.
Thank you, Jessica. I think that's just given many of us here a little challenge, isn't it? Be praying and looking around your sphere of influence this next year and see how many other marriages we might be able to impact and build up for God's glory. So,
can I follow up with that real quick? Just something. A great piggyback to Wisdom for Wives is the Respect Dare. It's about 8 weeks, and it's really just practicing the whole thing of respect. There's an assignment every night. The first week seems like, okay, where are the assignments? I'm not getting the respect there because it's a little bit of groundwork. But once you get past that, every day is just a specific assignment for something related to respect. And it is incredible because it does. It helps tangibly and practically shift the focus from his faults, his this, his that, to yourself and what you can adapt and grow in. And then the second thing that what you said occurred to me is one of the things I've seen at Perimeter, I love this church. I've been here 25 years. I love it. But one of the things that I have seen is that some of us can tend to fall into two categories. One, I'm just too busy. I'm decorating my house. I've got this. I got to go work out, yada, yada, to get involved in making a difference and an impact in other people's lives. The other aspect is thinking, I'm not fixed. I'm not perfect enough. My marriage isn't good enough. My husband's not the leader. Well, he's not even a believer. Well, my kids are rebels, blah, blah, blah. And just, I love what you did. Your marriage wasn't where you wanted it to be, so you invited somebody else to come with you to learn. And then you did the same thing. And just, I encourage you to not wait until your marriage or yourself is fixed or your kids are fixed and it's all just right. If you are just walking CYA, cover your assets. Your assets being your family, your husband, whatever's precious to you, with that walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, just confessing, yielding, and surrendering yourself daily to God. It doesn't matter what the results are, really. If you are faithfully doing that, you have something to offer to someone else. And if God has helped you even one time in your life, you be faithful to share that story with someone else, because other women are struggling, and they think that everybody in the church has it perfect and has it right. And we all know that's not true. So just, I encourage you to do exactly what you did. Just ask somebody else along the way and just share what he's done for you.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure, Jessica. It's only 5 of 10. No.
Well, I don't have kids, so it doesn't matter. No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to say how much I appreciated the ladies here in the last couple of years. Like I said, I don't even come here, and I have felt so loved on by the ladies here. I just want to, they're not even here. But Joanne Rodriguez last year, she subbed for our group one night, and we just connected, and she asked to if she could meet with me one-on-one to, like, mentor with me to do this study with me, and she, like, went deep, and it was, I mean, she just, like, loved on me right where I was at, with where I was having a struggling time with my dad, and she did this bondage study with me, and it was amazing. And then Judy's here. She sat in with us one time here, and she just, like, it's like she's your best friend, like you've known her your whole life, and she, like, really cares about you. And she emailed me and wants to invite us over to teach us how to cook Chinese food. I don't even know her. And she's like, hey, come over to my house. I love talking about marriage. And then Nancy Beggs, is that her name? She spoke here that day about her, well, you know her. And I just sent her an email, and I was like, thank you for sharing your story. Like, you were so transparent. I really respect and admire people who are just like, I messed up, here's my life, to God be the glory. And I so wrote her a note, and I was like, if you ever lead a study, can I be in it? And she writes me back and says, you know what, I want to hear your story. When can you get together with me? I don't even know her, and she wants to meet with me. And I'm serious, I've been going to another church for almost 9 years, and I purposely plug in there, but nobody has ever, an older woman to come say, I want to get to know you. I want to meet with you. Whatever you want to talk about, you can ask me anything. And so in the last summer, that last summer and this summer, I just want to praise you ladies of this ministry for just, I feel really, really loved on, even as a stranger here.
Thank you. Thank you. That's very kind and encouraging words, and we'll pass it along, which reminds me, thank you, that we need to appreciate our small group leaders that have been so faithful. These gals do such a great job, and I so appreciate them. And as you know, the class would not be half as good if we didn't have our faithful leaders to really encourage you gals, help you understand God's word, and then apply it in your marriages. Well, we need to close out this evening. Let me pray for us. Oh, most glorious Father, the Father of lights, the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, our sovereign Creator, and the lover of our souls, dear Lord, we do thank you for the many, many small steps of faith that you have shown us over these last 10 weeks. Sometimes it has seemed that we go two steps forward and three steps back, but we know that you have been moving us closer to yourself with each passing day. Please help us to see, especially in our husbands, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. Father, help us to think about such things. Remind us that our focus is on our relationship with you. Help us to grow in our walk with you such that we are content. Oh, Lord, it's so easy to get distracted and discontent, but help us to be content knowing that you have chosen this for us and that you are sovereign. Give us your strength to persevere and reveal to us what you are doing in our lives and in our marriages. Lord, it is our desire that we continue applying what we've learned in this class, that we will bring good and not harm to our husband, that we will speak with wisdom and kindness, that we will clothe ourselves with strength and dignity, and that we will remember that we can do all things because it is you who gives us strength. Make us be willing to show extravagant, excessive, extraordinary, and lavish love to especially our husbands, but to our children and all those around us. Lord, we want to be learning how to better love our husbands, to submit to him so that he will see the hidden person of my heart, that imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit that you, Lord, so desire. Help us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Lord, you have forgiven so much in my life, and I'm sure in these other women too, that we cannot be stingy and withhold that forgiveness to others. Lord, I do pray that we will think of the future and that there are others who are following in our footsteps. May we leave a legacy of faith and of faithfulness. Give us hope as we persevere through trials, the hope that does not disappoint, because your love of God has been poured out into our hearts. Finally, may our love abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that we may approve the things that are excellent, that we may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.